Isaiah chapter 1, I want to read one very familiar verse this morning, God being our helper, and then we'll preach a message. Isaiah chapter 1, look in verse 18. And the Bible says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. We just need a touch from heaven. We need some help, Lord. We certainly do. And God, we just pray that you would help us. And Lord, take our feeble attempt and act to preach this morning. And that your word and use it for your glory. I pray that you just guard our mind and our thoughts this morning. Keep the devil far away and keep him out of this place. And Lord, I pray for the one that's lost, that does not know you. I pray they'd come and get saved this morning. Pray you'd deal with hearts. Maybe there's somebody that needs to come and draw close. And Lord, just help. These folks sitting in here today, Lord, that just needs help. And I pray that you'd help them today. Now, I tell you again that we love you. Help us while we preach. And we'll give you the glory. Save the sinner that's nearest to him. For these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. In Isaiah chapter 1, as you look at the whole chapter right here, you learn that Israel has rebelled on God. I mean, they've come to a place to where they're forsaking God. They have rebelled. They have turned their back upon the Lord. As a matter of fact, if you look in verse 2, he said, "I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." He said in verse 3 right there that the ox knew his owner and the ass the crib, but he said, "Israel," he said, "I've nourished my children," but he said, "Israel doth not know, and my people doth not consider." Now listen, that's the same way our nation is today. I mean, they say that they know God, but they don't know God. Only in their lips do they say that they know God. Now, I've been preaching a series of messages and that on the sins of a nation. Now, I'm not going to preach on that this morning. The Lord's not given us any liberty to do that, so I'm not going to do that. But listen, our nation is in a mess because, listen, he said even the ox and the ass knew what to do, but he said Israel didn't know. Can I say our nation is in the same shape? Folk that go to church don't even really know about what God is and who he is and the Savior today. It's more of just a social club. It's just more of a way to go meet folk than it is to worship the Savior. Listen, as a matter of fact, the Bible said that they provoked him there in verse 4 and that to anger. It said later on that he compares them. If you look down through here, he said that he compares them and that to Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen, what a horrible way and that to be compared or a horrible person to be compared to is Sodom and Gomorrah. All the sin that was committed there, and God destroyed them because of that sin. And if you look in verses 11 through 15, you'll find out that God was tired of their worship. God forbid that he ever gets tired of our worship. As a matter of fact, he said, "Look, out of what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me?" In verse 11, he said, "I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of hens." Hey, listen, God used to delight when Israel would come and make all those sacrifices. He said, "When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my course?" Well, he had. God had required that. God had wanted that. God had wanted the nation of Israel and that to come to worship and to commit those sacrifices and to come to his court and that was singing and praise unto him. God had required that. But he said, "I'm tired of it." Why? Because they had rebelled. He said, "Bring no more vain oblations." They were just vain. It was just a vanity. I don't know why you're here this morning. If you just come to go to church, friend, I hope you find something in the singing and in the word of God today. But he said right here in verse 13, "Incense is an abomination unto me." He said, "You burning the sacrifice, it's an abomination." He said, "The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of the assemblies, I cannot away with his iniquity, even the solemn meeting." He said, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. God was tired of it. He said, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are what? Full of blood. They had sinned. Wash you, make you clean, and put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless and plead for the widows. But then God made a plea right here of his own. He gave an invitation, didn't he? And he said, come now. And if I could preach this morning, God being our helper, I simply want to preach on when the Lord says come. I know I've preached many times out of this verse over the years, but I'm telling you, I'm glad that God still says come. Amen. I'm glad that he still pleads and begs with people and wants them to come and add unto him. I want you to look, first of all, number one this morning, he says come now. And you know, there's no better time than the present than to come. He said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. God wants to deal with your heart. God wants to work with you, and he wants to convince you and convict you and then convert you, but he wants to deal with your heart. Hey, I'm glad there come a day that God come by my way and knocked on my heart. Hey, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm glad that he gives an invitation. Listen, he said, now is the time. Hey, do you know there's no better time to get saved than today? Amen. Hey, if you're sitting here unsaved, listen, God wants you to move. Amen. Listen, he said, for he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. N-O-W, right now, move right now. Wouldn't be the first time we've ever seen anybody move during the preaching. I ain't seen it a lot, but I've seen it. Amen. Listen, when God begins to deal with hearts, if he's knocking on your heart, and he He's given the invitation. Why don't you move when he says come? Amen. Come now. Come now. God pleads and says, come now. Don't wait. Why? Why can't you wait? Why can't you put it off? Hey, it's now. It may be now or never, friend. Amen. I'll never forget when he dealt with me about salvation. I just remember him dealing with me about salvation. But I remember when he dealt with me about preaching, I was afraid to leave the church house. Man, I was afraid to leave the church house that morning. I just knowed for sure that I left out of there without preaching, he was going to kill me. Now, I believe that with all my heart. I believe God was going to strike me dead if I walked out of there without saying that God called me to preach. And maybe God's dealing with you about some things. I'll get on with that here in a minute. But boy, when God knocks, you need to move. When God calls, what did he say in the book of Isaiah 55? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. You know, God don't always deal with you. You can only get saved when God's dealing with you. Folks, I'll get saved in my time. No, you got to move when God moves. You need to move when God deals with you so that you can get saved. He said, come now. Come now. N-O-W means right now. Listen, tomorrow, later may never come. Time is fleeting. I've heard my pastor said this one time. He said, I should have went to the hospital. And he said, I said, well, I'll go tomorrow. And he said, instead of putting my suit jacket on, I had to go to the hospital. I was putting my suit jacket on to go to the funeral home. Life's fleeting, ain't it? Life's fleeting. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say that you've got right now. Right now. Right now. But you may not have this evening service. I may not even have this evening service. Just because God's given me something to preach does not mean that I'm out. I know a preacher one time, he was flying to go somewhere. He never flew before. And He was getting nervous because he was, you know, just had never flew. And he said, God hadn't given me nothing to preach come that Wednesday night. He said, I was going to have to fly somewhere out. And he said, man, I really wanted something, God, to give me something to preach on Wednesday night. He said, that way at least I know I'd make it back to preach. Amen. Y'all catch on to that here in a little bit. And he said, God finally give me something for Wednesday night before I left. I want you to understand something, though. Time is fleeting. Bible said, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. All these are very simple scripture this morning, but you need to understand your life is just a vapor. We're here for just a little time and then we vanish away. David said in 1 Samuel 20, there is just but one step between me and death. He said in Psalms 90, Lord, teach us so to number our days. You know, we're here just for a little while. I was sitting in my study this morning thinking, man, me and my wife's been married for a little over 24 years, and I mean this with all my heart. It seems like that me and her just started dating the other day in high school. We started dating in the middle of our senior year. And listen, it just seems like yesterday that we started dating. It just seemed like yesterday that we got married. It just seemed like yesterday I come down here to pastor. I've been here 17 years. Time is getting away, friend. You say, well, preacher, you've had all that time. Yeah, but it's very fleeting. Before you turn around, there you'll be. If God allows you to live, you'll be old and not saved. You need to get saved today. You need to understand that death will catch you one day. Going to catch me, but I'm going to heaven. But if you ain't saved, you'll die and go to hell. He's pleading right now and saying, come now and let us reason together. Come now. He says, come and had not only now, not only in the present, not only is it the present time and the perfect time, but friend, you come and that for a personal cleaning, personal cleansing. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Listen, as my mother-in-law sung, where it's the blood of the Lamb that makes the difference today. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 said, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. Do you realize that you and I, listen, that before we were saved, I stood dirty, I stood vile, I stood wicked before God, and that the Father, the Creator of everything, the Creator of this earth, the Creator of the universe, the Creator of our salvation, that we stood vile and wretched and dirty before him. But friend, when you came to Christ, Jesus the Lord, he took you and washed you and made you clean, and that fit for heaven this morning. Thank God, praise, and that be to him this morning. Amen. I'm glad to be clean and that in him this morning. I thought about Naaman as I was studying this message. I thought about in 2 Kings chapter. Take your Bible over there and go to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. I want you to look at this. 2 Kings chapter 5. We'll just start reading at verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria. I've lost my handkerchief here. There we go. I was looking for that handkerchief. Let me get back here. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, I want you to watch what the Bible says, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Naaman was a good man. Naaman was a great man. Naaman was a valiant man. He was an honorable man. But the Bible said he was a leper. Now, if you talk to anybody that knows their Bible and you ask them what Naaman was, 9 times out of 10, they'll use that word leper. They'll say Naaman was a leper. Didn't matter what else he was, it mattered that he was a leper. See, no matter what else you are, friend, if you're lost, you're lost.
No matter how good you are, no matter how great you are, no matter how good a worker you are on the job, no matter how faithful you are to church, no matter what you know, friend, who you know, but listen, friend, the Bible said he was a leper, verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wine. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Now here's a little girl, and I've preached on my heroes out of the Bible. She is one of my heroes in the Bible. She's sitting in captivity, being carried down there to demons' house. And she says, man, if we could just get my Lord, if we could get Naaman back to the man of God, said he could do something for him. She was willing to witness. Now, here's a couple of things that I've always wondered. Somebody raised her to know about God, didn't they? Somebody raised her to know about the man of God and what he could do. Think about that for a second. How are you raising your children this morning? How are you raising them? When the Bible said that he was an honorable man, I believe it was Brother Jim White that preached on this, and he picked up on, I won't take credit for this. You know, 9 times out of 10, preachers sometimes just preach other things that other preachers just preach, and we just claim them for our own sometimes. I remember a preacher one time. I won't call his name, but I mean he's a friend of mine. But he was showing Brother Ted Pegram. He said let me. He said, Brother Ted. He said, let me show you what the Lord. Look this outline. What God give me right here. And then Brother Ted looked at it and he smacked him on the shoulder and called him by his name. He said, God didn't give you that. I give you that 6 months ago, brother. Oh, I love it. I believe Brother Jim White said he had to be honorable. He said that little girl right there, that little maid, he hadn't took advantage of that little maid. She wanted to get him down there to the man of God. Honorable men don't take advantage of children. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They don't do that. And she said unto her mistress, he said, if we could just get God, if we could just get the man of, get our Lord down there to the man of God, said he could recover him of his leprosy. Verse 4. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. That's not what the little girl said. Little girl said, get him down there to the man of God. The king writes the letter and says, I've sent Naaman down there. Look at your Bible in verse 6. Said, I've sent him down there that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. King couldn't help him. King couldn't help him. Hey, listen, everything that this world offers can't help you, friend. But there's a God in heaven that can. That little old maid over there was given the invitation. Said, boy, if we could just get him down there. Now, I want you to look at the king's response right here. Said, it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does sin unto me to recover this a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. He said, he sent me down here to recover him, to make him whole, and he's wanting to fight against me. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Boy, he said, you send him down here. Boy, what an invitation. I'm telling you, Naaman just didn't know what happened to him right there. He just didn't know. Elisha said, if you'll send him down here, he'll find out that there's a man of God around here. He'll find out. You know, I'm just going to tell you, if you'll just get an old time Holy Ghost meeting, you can find out that God's real sometimes. Amen. Listen this morning, God, if he's knocking on your heart, I'm telling you, he's wanting to make himself real to you. I'm glad that God's real to me. So real to me, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you look? So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. I love Elisha right here in verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him. Elisha didn't even go out there. You catch that? Elisha didn't even go out there. Naaman come, knocked on the door. He said, "Hey, it's me. You sent for me." And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, sent one of his preacher boys out there, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." That's what he told him to do. He said, "You go to Jordan, wash 7 times, you'll be clean." But I want you to look at verse 11. "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought,'" you know that's your problem?
Amen.
You thought.
Yes.
You thought. What did he think? He said, "He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover." He said, I thought that Elisha would come out, make some big to-do, lay his hand on me, call on the God of heaven, and God would heal me. He said in verse 12, "Are not Abnon, Pharpar, rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel?" Not that day. "May I not wash in them and be clean?" No. No. A lot of people says, "Can I not live good?" No. "Can I not be baptized?" No. "Can I not join the church?" No. He said, "Are not Abnon, Pharpar, far better rivers than all the waters of Israel?" No. Not that day. So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean,' then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." You know why he was clean? Because he done what the man of God said to do. You know the only way that you're going to get saved is when you do what the Bible says to do. He said, "Come now and let us reason together." God's trying to reason with you in your heart. You need to move, friend. You need to move today. Listen, he wants you to come and get saved. He does the cleaning. He does the changing. Listen, can you imagine the burden that Naaman carried? He knew that sin was going to kill him. Or that disease. He knew that disease was going to kill him. And we liken leprosy and that unto sin. And you have to realize that, friend, that you're going to die in your sin if you don't come to the Lord. And there is a burden and that associated with that in carrying that sin. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Can I tell you that he gave you an invitation and that to come for the burden to be lifted? Come so that the burden can be lifted. Come so that the turmoil that's inside your heart could be fixed. The turmoil about your destiny. The turmoil that you wonder if you lay down at the night time and you don't wake up, what's going to happen? If you're lost, you'll die and go to hell. You know why I can pillow my head at the night time and not worry about eternity? I know what I asked Jesus to do for me. And I know what I believed in my heart. That night that I come to him, you know, I've studied on that over the years. Because you hear people say, "Well, you got to do this and you got to do that." And listen, you look in the Bible, and that night that I came to get saved believing that Jesus would save me. I don't know anything else to tell you to do.
Amen.
Except come believing that Jesus can save you. She said if we could just get him down there to the man of God, he could help him. If you could just come to Jesus today, he could help you. He says, "Come." He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my burden is easy." Amen. Ain't you glad of that? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Listen, I'm glad today that you can come. I came. Listen, if you just, you said, preacher, he said in Isaiah 55, ho, everyone that is athirst, that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come. Look, he said, come. He said, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Don't cost you a thing. Come and you can get what you need. Come, you can find what you need at Christ Jesus' feet. Come. You may not need salvation today. You may need help. But you can certainly come and crawl up around no altar and find help. I know I've told you 1,000 times. I've crawled up around this thing when there wasn't nobody else here. And I found all the help I need. I've come in here in bad shape some days and just gather up around the altar and pray and God help. Why? I just showed up. You said, preacher, could you not have prayed at home? I could have. And there's been several times that I've prayed at home. Prayed at the foot of the couch, prayed in my study, at my altar, in my study. Listen, there's been times I've laid in the bed and I went to bed praying the other night, woke up praying. Listen, I'm telling you what, why? Because he said, come. Listen, he said, come to the throne of grace that you may find grace and mercy to help in a time of need. You can come to him. Child of God can come and call on him. Call on. I'll never forget years ago. I was just a little bitty feller, but I had a little old motorcycle. And Mom and Daddy made me wear a helmet. And that helmet was about twice the size of my head. And I mean, it's heavier than I was, you know. That's how little I was. Y'all think I'm little now, you'll see me then. Nobody thinks I'm little no more. I mean, I'm about as broad as I am tall, But I'll never forget, our next door neighbors had a little old beagle. Well, it wasn't a little old beagle dog, but had a beagle dog, and I had that little motorcycle, and he always used to chase me. And that didn't bother me. You can just kick out your leg and just kick him away. But somehow, he got in front of my front tire. I ain't sure how that happened. And somehow my front tire run over him. Now I say, preacher, I didn't hurt the dog. Trust me, that little motorcycle didn't hurt enough. But you know what happened? I fell off. I wrecked that motorcycle there in the driveway. And my daddy was out there in his workshop. And you know the first thing I done? You know who I called for? I called for my daddy. I knew he was out there. You know why I called for him? I knew he would hear me. You know why I knew that I called for him? Because I knew that he would hear me. And I knew that he would come to where I was. After he got me set up straight and knocked the dirt off of me and the dust off of me and looked at the road rash, which wasn't a lot, then I sent him over to check on the dog. I was worried about that dog. Listen, you just may need to come and cry out to the Heavenly Father and say, I just need some help. He's giving the invitation for you to come. He said, casting all you care upon him, for he careth for you. I want to look last of all in the book of the Revelation. We get to the very end of the book. Revelation chapter 22. We're coming to a close in this book. And we're coming to an end. As a matter of fact, the only thing after what I read in verse 17 is a warning, and that not to change the book. In verse 20, it talks about how quickly the Lord's going to come. But in verse 17, he said, in the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. One of the last things you find in the book is an invitation. The cry of an invitation to say, why don't you come?
Why don't you come and get saved? Why don't you come and miss everything that the book of the Revelation told about? Why don't you come and meet Jesus, your Savior? Why don't you come? I want you to look. All through the Bible you'll find that God calls. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. You'll find that Jesus calls, and he said at one point in the four Gospels, he says, he that is athirst, let him come, and that unto me. You'll find that the Holy Spirit, and that calls in verse 17, the church is to call and say, come. He who hears is to call and say, come. Hey, folk are begging you to get saved this morning. I don't understand why folk wouldn't want to get saved. Jesus gave us a door at Calvary, didn't he? As he died for me and you and hung there in open naked shame. As they nailed him in the hands, as they was nail prints here and nail prints here, as they crossed his feet and drove the spike through it, put the crown of thorns upon his head and hung him up, he made a door to God. You say, what do you mean he made a door to God? He reconciled us to God that day. He paid the penalty. He paid the sin debt. He made the way. And now he says, come, come. Come. He said, everybody that thirst, let him come and buy without price. Why? He's already paid. Ain't you glad today that Jesus has already paid your sin debt? It's took care of. All you have to do is come today.